That's a bingo.
888-971-SAGE. 888-971-7243. Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. We are doing a postmortem on yesterday's Democrat debate. 12 candidates. And the broad themes are Donald Trump is a really, really, really evil person. Number two, Virginia, there is such a thing as a free lunch. And these SOBs over there are trying to stop you from eating it. And third, yeah, there is a Republican that we all respect. His name is John McCain. Yes, he's dead. And yes, we wouldn't have spit on him in 2008 when he was voting, running against Barack Obama, but he's a great guy now. By the way, there was some criticism about the way the debate ended. Newsweek has this headline. Newsweek is a center-left publication. I think they're just online now. They don't have a print edition anymore, I don't think. Anyway, the headline is as follows. Democratic debate questions slammed. 3 hours and no questions tonight about climate, housing, or immigration. But you know, there was a question about Ellen. There's also no question about the economy. No question about reparations. No question about the borders, unless you mean by immigration the borders. No one asked anybody, what percentage of taxes at all three levels should government take from the American people? When I was on one of the cable shows, I mentioned that in 1900, government at all three levels took less than 10% from the American people. I got a phone call from one of these fact-check people, an actual phone call. I gave my source. And by the way, that was the thing that I said that most gobsmacked them. Government at all three levels in 1900 took less than 10% of the American people? Fact! And today at all three levels, government takes almost 30%, 32% or so. Of course, nothing like that would ever come up. How about the irony of the open borders activist who was just riding on a motorcycle and was killed by a driver who swerved into his path, and the driver was an illegal alien who had been under deportation orders. Is this thing on? Of course, that never came up. You've consistently talked about what a fool, idiot, incompetent person President Trump is. Yet the economy is now entering its longest expansion in history. Are there any policies that the president implemented since he's been in office, in your opinion, that contributed to that expansion? Who wants to take a first whack at that question? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? My mother said that she didn't leave the Democratic Party. The party left her, although she never changed her registration. And she happily and enthusiastically voted for this gentleman.
The worst deficit comes from a recession. And if we can take the proper action in the proper time, this can be the most important step we could take to prevent another recession. That is the right kind of a tax cut, both for your family budget and the national budget, resulting from a permanent basic reform and reduction in our rate structure, a creative tax cut, creating more jobs and income, and eventually more revenue. And the right time for that kind of bill, it now appears, in the absence of an economic crisis today, and if the job is to be done in a responsible way, is January 1963. Such a bill will be presented to the Congress for action next year. It will include an across-the-board, top-to-bottom cut in both corporate and personal income taxes. It will include long-needed tax reforms that logic and equity demand. And it will date that cut in taxes to take effect as of the start of next year, January 1963. The billions of dollars this bill will place in the hands of the consumer and our businessmen will have both immediate and permanent benefits to our economy. Every dollar released from taxation that is spent or invested will help create a new job and a new salary. And these new jobs and new salaries can create other jobs and other salaries, and more customers and more growth for an expanding American economy. Instead of being permanently saddled with excess planned capacity and the budgetary deficit that is created by this means, our goal must be fuller capacity and full employment and the budgetary surpluses that that kind of employment and capacity can produce.
And we've gone from that to this.
Senator Warren, to be clear, Senator Sanders acknowledges he's going to raise taxes on the middle class to pay for Medicare for all. You've endorsed his plan. Should you acknowledge it too?
So the way I see this, it is about what kinds of costs middle class families are going to face. So let me be clear on this. Costs will go up for the wealthy. They will go up for big corporations. And for middle class families, they will go down. I will not sign a bill into law that does not lower costs for middle class families.
I'm not the only one who's made this observation. You notice how whenever Elizabeth Warren answers a question, she starts it with "so." I think it might be a Native American thing. I don't know. Well, I'm going to raise taxes on the wealthy and on corporations, but I'm going to lower them on the middle class. Senator Warren, whom do you think is employed by the wealthy and by corporations? Do you think maybe middle class people are employed by them? And when you raise their taxes and raise their costs of doing business, does that not come out of the compensation from the middle-class employees of the rich corporation on which you've just raised taxes? In case you didn't watch it, here are some highlights.
Impeachment is the way that we establish that this man will not be permitted to break the law over and over without consequences.
I don't really think this impeachment process is going to take very long, because as a former prosecutor, I know a confession when I see it.
My son did nothing wrong. I did nothing wrong.
Will you raise taxes on the middle class to pay for it, yes or no?
So I have made clear what my principles are here, and that is costs will go up for the wealthy and for big corporations, and for hardworking middle-class families, costs will go down.
Well, we heard it tonight, a yes or no question that didn't get a yes or no answer. And I don't understand why you believe the only way to deliver affordable coverage to everybody is to obliterate private plans.
But I do think it is appropriate to acknowledge that taxes will go up.
But for people making between $50,000 and $75,000 a year, their taxes are going to go up about $5,000.
Not nearly one word with all of these discussions about health care on women's access to reproductive health care, which is under full-on attack.
Women should not be the only ones taking up this cause and this fight.
Three people need to keep their hands off of women's bodies and let women make the decisions about their own lives.
Thank you, Senator.
I think universal basic income is a good idea.
Most Americans do not want to work for the federal government. And saying that that is the vision of the economy of the 21st century, to me, is not a vision that most Americans would embrace.
I think the thing closest to the universal basic income is Social Security.
Raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour would put more money in people's pockets than giving them $1,000 a month.
I was one of the first people on this stage to propose a wealth tax.
Not even the billionaire wants to protect billionaires.
President Trump ordered the withdrawal of all American forces from northern Syria.
It has been the most shameful thing that any president has done in modern history.
What he has done is wreck our ability to do foreign policy, to do military policy, because nobody in the world will believe this pathological liar.
What Donald Trump has done is basically giving 10,000 ISIS fighters a get-out-of-jail-free card.
Sigh. 888-971-SAG. Randy, Clifton, and Clinton, do not leave town. Let's chat. I'm Larry Elder.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show. It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
Hi there, Larry. I think LeBron James should be called moron of the year, maybe moron of the decade. He was for Hillary Clinton. He said she's going to tax the middle class, and he thought that was great. For Hillary Clinton, he got a rapist of a 12-year-old off and laughed about it, and he thought that was great. And now he thinks communism is great, and somebody who speaks out against it and for pro-liberty people is uneducated and ignorant about the situation. I think it's the other way around. I think LeBron James shows what a moron he is.
They are burning his jersey in Hong Kong. 888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. I'd like Randy, Clifton, and Clinton to just hang on for one more segment. Because my next guest is an Iranian-American, member of the Student Movement for Freedom and Democracy in Iran. Had two brothers, also members of the same movement. One was killed after torture over 7 years of imprisonment. Another one escaped after serving 7 years behind bars. She's been active in supporting pro-democratic positions of the Iranian movement in Iran. She has studied journalism in Iran. Has a book called Ideas and Lashes. Please welcome to the program Nazrin Mohammadi. Nazrin, did I pronounce the last name correctly?
Yes. Hello, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much.
I have so many questions to ask you, and I think our listeners are going to be interested. My first question is this. How does the average Persian, the average Iranian feel about America?
They love America. They love American people. They are American people. They are great people. I am one of them. And then when I came to United States, I said, I kiss this land. I said, this is my home. And most of Iranian people, the inside and outside, and especially inside of Iran, they love America. And they know American people, they are greatest people in the whole world. And they are friendly, they are open-minded. And American people love Iranian people. And Iranian people always were friends with American people, and then always Iranian people love American people. And this is just government has the animosity with American people.
Mm-hmm.
Always Iranian people love American people, love American government. Especially now, Iranian people love American people and love American government.
Well, Nazrin, how serious is the student movement in Iran? How close to toppling this government is the dissidents, are the dissidents in Iran? Do they have enough power to do that in the foreseeable future?
Could you please repeat that?
Well, you are working with students who are protesting lack of freedom in Iran.
Yes.
How insecure is the Ayatollah's grip on the country?
They are very insecure. Mm-hmm. This government is almost, is going to be insecure and almost is gone. And then this... is very weak, and they know they should say goodbye, and then other government, secular government should come, and people, they should choose their own government. And then Khomeini, the supreme leader of the supreme leader, and he knows, and he said many times, and his tear was came, and then and he mentioned and to many times, and then I asked people, and I need you people, and that means he's very big in his health, and before he never asked people's help. This regime is very weak. This regime is less than a year is going to be overthrown. We need this. And because of the United States and President Donald Trump is supporting is with people, with Iranian people, and supporting Iranian people. He mentioned people, Iranian people, I am with you, I'm supporting you. Is not like a President Obama. President Obama never mentioned people, I am with you. And President Obama, instead of taking people's hand, he took Ayatollah's hand. And then when Iranian student movement happened, and then student movement said, Obama, are you with us or with Mullah? Obama, instead of taking student hand, he took Mullah's hand, and then and sent $1 billion money to government, and then support Mullah and support terrorists, and then he didn't send money to people. That money went sent to terrorists, and the Iranian government spent that money for terrorism. And we know what happened. And then Obama support Islamic government of Iran. Obama support terrorism. But President Donald Trump supporting people of Iran. He heard voice of Iranian people. He heard voice of student movement and then people, movement of women, and then movement of people. And then this is different. And then President Donald Trump is coming from people, and he not only coming from people of the United States, he's listening to, he listened to people of Iran, and then that is different. And then Iranian people love him, and then many Iranian people call him and then Prophet Trump.
Nasrin, we only have about a minute left. My guest is Nasrin Mahami. She is an American Iranian and a student activist for freedom in Iran. If people want to get involved in your movement, how do they do that? How do they contact you or contact whatever organization you would recommend?
If they want, I can give my cell number and I can give my email address.
No, don't. If that's your personal email address, if you want people to write to you personally, why don't I just retain it? I have it. And if people want to contact you, they can contact me and I can give it to them. I think it's probably better. Okay. Nasrin Mahami, thank you very much for coming on the program. I appreciate it. I'm Larry Elder. Randy, Clifton, Clinton, don't go away.
Larry will be right back. Stay tuned. The Larry Elder Show.
Hey, Larry and Elder Nation. I'm upset. I got tickets to go to the Trump Jr. rally today in San Antonio. I got to work. And 2 hours before the rally starts, they moved it from a 300-person room to the freaking convention center. You think they have a massive turnout anticipated? I think so. Trump 2020.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243. Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, wants to give back to my listeners. You can now get deep discounts on all MyPillow products. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Click on new radio specials. You'll see deep discounts on MyPillows, mattress toppers, bed sheets, and so much more. They're bringing back the buy one, get one free offer for the MyPillows. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. So go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio listener specials, and get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the buy one, get one free for the MyPillows. Enter promo code Larry or call 800-890-1843 for these great radio specials. Randy is in Apple Valley, California. Randy, you're on the Larry Elder Show. Thank you so much for calling.
Larry, I love your show. You're doing a great job. What I wanted to talk about was, for the longest time, I was wondering why so many of our leaders seem to hate America when people from all over the world are beating down doors, risking their lives to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I came upon the Agenda 21 of the United Nations, and it seems like everybody's following the same script. Our schools, our media, our music, our Hollywood entertainers, mm-hmm. our politicians,
mm-hmm.
all these people seem to have that agenda of getting rid of our borders, getting rid of our culture, creating division between everybody in there, divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
And they all follow that Agenda 21 of the United Nations. And I was just wondering if anybody's looking into how much influence these people have with their money and their intergovernment organizations and their non-governmental organizations. It seems like everybody's following the same script.
Absolutely, Randy. Look, I have coined an expression I've used for decades. It's called the access of indoctrination. And you've named the three pillars: Hollywood, media, academia. And their thesis is that America got wealthy exploiting, fill in the blank, blacks, women, Asians, Hispanics. Rich people are continuing to get rich. Poor people are continuing to get poor. The inequality in America is something that government ought to address. Health care is a right. The Constitution is not a contract that binds the hands of government and leaves everything else to the people and to the states. No, it's a suggestion box. It's a living, breathing document. And this is where we are. And the left dominates these three pillars of our culture: media, Hollywood, academia. You look at the money that Hollywood spends for candidates and for causes, 90% of it goes to Democrats and Democratic causes. You look at the composition of a typical department, humanities department at a college or a university, either to the in the north or the south, east or the west, or in the Midwest, public or private, with some exceptions. The faculty overwhelmingly are registered as Democrats or to some sort of party of the left. It is not uncommon to find a department, for example, a sociology department, with not a zero Republican. Women's studies, forget about it. History, minority. Even in economics, the economics professors are dominated by people who are Democrats. That's how somebody like AOC can presumably graduate from Boston College, or is it Boston University? Forget which one. From college in Boston. With a degree in economics. Regarding the media, according to Pew Research, only 7% of reporters self-describe as Republican. 93% call themselves something other than Republican, and it's not to the right of Republican. So this is where we are. And that's why I started out the program with talking about what a joke the debates are when you look at who the co-hosts are. CNN, whose CEO is on that Project Veritas tape, discussing his disdain for Donald Trump, directing his minions to pursue impeachment to the exclusion of other stories, where staffers at CNN are complaining that Jeff Zucker, quote, hates, close quote, Donald Trump, has a, quote, personal vendetta against him, close quote. And the other one is the New York Times, that blasts away at President Trump, that probably was one of the leaders of the Trump engaged in collusion with the Russians nonsense. And they haven't endorsed a Republican for president since 1956. Jimmy Carter over Ronald Reagan, are you kidding me? Oh, yeah. The woman they just hired for the editorial board said things that if they were said about blacks instead of whites, which is what she said about, there's no way she'd have gotten that job. This is what we're up against.
It's the Sage, Larry Elder.
Let me show, Larry. I'm just curious if the Bidens will be showing their tax returns since he's running for president. I just wonder if he's going to show all that money he made in Ukraine and China on his tax returns. Yeah, good luck with that.
of your show.
Yes, Mr. Elder, lest we forget, Joe Biden is not the only vice president who has made himself wealthy. Al Gore engineered the sale of the Elk Hills Naval Oil Reserves in California to Armand Hammer's oil company, of which his family owns stock. And you can find that on the internet.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Last hour I was telling you about the Alliance Defending Freedom campaign that we're engaged in. And I'm well short of my personal goal. And I know that we ask a lot of you. I mean, I know it. Believe me, I've seen the phone calls, I get the email. We've tried to choose only causes that we deeply, deeply believe in and that we feel advance the ball. The ball of religious liberty, financial liberty. Now, ADF has been defending people like Jack Phillips, the owner of the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado, where a gay couple walks in and asks him to make a cake for a wedding. He refuses. He's taken to the Human Rights Commission. He ultimately prevails at the Supreme Court, and then guess what happens? Another gay guy comes in and makes a similar demand. And now Jack Phillips is back in court. We talked about the woman named Baronelle Stutzman. Ran a floral shop. Was asked to make a floral arrangement for a gay occasion. She refused, said it was a violation of her religious convictions. And she had to be represented by Alliance Defending Freedom. That one is still, that one, by the way, was litigated and litigated successfully. And now we have a current situation in Connecticut where boys have decided that, well, they really are girls and they're destroying the female competitors. And Alliance Defending Freedom is defending pro bono, one of the athletes who otherwise would not be able to afford this kind of legal representation. These cases, if they go all the way up to the Supreme Court, they can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. I know, because I practiced at a large law firm where we had cases that went up that far. Most important thing is to donate today. Now, any amount will help. If I can get, say, 10 listeners, a grand apiece, that'd be fantastic. Or $750 from 16 people. Or maybe $500 from 120 people. I think I've done the math right. But the most important thing is that you donate today in any amount. Right now at my website, LarryElder.com, click on the ADF banner. Or you can do it toll-free at 866-435-2252. That's 866-435-2252. Thank you so much. Now, we were talking about the debates. Here is a little bit of Bernie Sanders. Did he just trash Obamacare and call it dysfunctional and cruel?
I get a little bit tired, I must say, of people defending a system which is dysfunctional, which is cruel. 87 million uninsured.
People defending a system which is dysfunctional and it's cruel. You've just called Obamacare dysfunctional and cruel. Yes, he did.
50,000 people dying every single year, 500,000 people going bankrupt. For what reason? They came down with cancer. I will tell you what the issue is here. The issue is whether the Democratic Party has the guts to stand up to the healthcare industry, which made $100 billion in profit.
May I throw a penalty flag here? When Bernie Sanders suffered his heart attack, do you think he took medication? Do you think that medication was conceived through the R&D and then produced and manufactured and distributed by a dastardly drug company? From where do you think these products come? And why do you think they're doing it? Because they want to make a profit. And how do you make a profit? By providing a product that people want. And how do you ensure that people are not gouged greater competition. And the more rules, the more regulations, the more expensive you make it for a drug to be brought to market, the fewer competitors there'll be. And then you engage in BMW about how high the prices are while using the very products that you condemn. Why do you suppose America dominates this industry? As opposed to France, as opposed to England, whose healthcare system Bernie Sanders feels are superior, as opposed to Scandinavia. And by the way, even Denmark says, Bernie, will you knock it off? We're not socialists. We're a welfare state. We'll give you that. But socialism means government ownership of means of production. We are not socialists. We're capitalists. Yes, we have a bigger welfare state, and often people confuse the two. Mayor Pete called out Warren regarding her Medicare for All. He has a new expression, Medicare for those who want it.
I don't think the American people are wrong when they say that what they want is a choice. And the choice of Medicare for all who want it, which is affordable for everyone because we make sure that the subsidies are in place.
Medicare for all who want it.
Allows you to get that health.
How about houses for all who want it?
It's just better than Medicare for all whether.
How about supermodels for all who want it?
You want this it or not. And I don't.
Broaden out a little bit there.
I don't understand why you believe the only way to deliver affordable coverage to everybody is to obliterate private plans, kicking 150 million Americans off of their insurance in 4 short years when we could achieve that same big, bold goal. And once again, we gotta be president. We're competing to be president for the day after Trump. Our country will be horrifyingly polarized, even more than now. After everything we've been through, after everything we are about to go through, this country will be even more divided. Why unnecessarily divide this country?
Barf bag.
America, we have a country to save. And now, here's Larry Elder.
Yeah, Larry, I'm just responding to Coach Steve Kerr and the killing silence, the deadening silence that has come about regarding China. And of course, you're going to hear him and others in professional sports and the NBA, police brutality, and Trump's a racist, and, you know, anything that's anti-Trump, man, they are going to make a stance on, right? Except when it threatens their pocketbook. And what rules? Money rules. Because that's a big business partner there, China. They can't defend them. Boy, can you say hypocrites? Because in one stroke, you know, Trump is a capitalist pig in their eyes, probably. But when it comes to their money, crickets.
888-971-SAGE, 888-971-7243, Larry Elder, ReliefFactor.com studio. Tell me about it. Yeah, Steve Kerr, Trump racism, Johnny on the spot. Gun violence, Johnny on the spot. Hong Kong dissidents protesting a law that would require them to be extradited to China to stand trial for political offenses? Are you kidding me? Not a problem, though, condemning the person who wrote a tweet supporting the Hong Kong dissidents. And by the way, there's been another NBA member that has said something in support of the Hong Kong dissidents, and is the coach of the LA Clippers, Doc Rivers. And he said that Daryl Morey, the embattled GM that sent out the tweet, did the right thing. He didn't go into it, but at least he said that. He's the only one that I know of who said anything.
I didn't pay much attention to it other than what Morley said, and he was right in saying that. But there's consequences to every action as well. You know, I've been saying that. So, hey, Lou, you ready to go? All right, let's go. So, you know, it's a tough issue, clearly, you know, and that's what it is.
Not exactly a robust endorsement, but still. By the way, go to our website, my website, LarryElder.com, and vote for Culture Warrior of the Year. We have 6 finalists from 500 nominees. Candace Owens, Alan Sears, Gary Sinise, Abby Johnson, Franklin Graham, and Charlie Kirk. Just go to my website, LarryElder.com. Elizabeth Warren says that we shouldn't have troops in the Middle East at all.
I'd like to ask Senator Warren if she would join me in calling for an end to this regime change war in Syria, finally.
So, look, I think that we ought to get out of the Middle East. I don't think we should have troops in the Middle East.
Just take them out of Iraq, take them out of Afghanistan, take them out of everywhere we have them in the Middle East. Let's just get them out. Gee, why didn't we think of that? There won't be any consequences. There won't be any blowback because, after all, the terrorists just terrorize people over there. They're not trying to get over here. They're not trying to terrorize us. In fact, the fact that we're over there makes them more angry and more likely to terrorize us. Scotty, can you beam me up? I'm Larry Elder.
You're listening to The Larry Elder Show.